I want to notice the first two verses of the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. 2 weeks ago tonight, I brought you a little message on charity. I want to talk a little more about charity. And since charity is the greatest thing in the world, it can stand a lot of talking about. There's a lot to be said in favor of charity. It's the underlying basic principle of Christian living. You're not going to live a Christian life without a heart full of charity. And you won't keep victory in your soul among yourselves towards your fellow men without a heart full of charity.
Amen.
The love of God being shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Now he says, be ye followers of God as dear children and walk in love. What does that mean? I was thinking as I sat there on my seat a while ago about some instruction that John gave us, the Apostle John. And he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Walk in truth. Now, what does that mean? But what does walk in love mean? It means that that is our way of life. To walk in truth is to make truth the guiding principle of your life in every phase and area of it. And that's just your way of life. To walk in love is like that too.
Amen.
Love being predominant in every phase and area of your life continually. That's your way of life.
Yes, amen.
That's what walk in the Scripture signifies, is your way of life. Walk in truth, that's your way of life. Truth is not just something to be told in contradistinction to a lie, but it's just a way of life, just walking in truth. So is love the way of life for a Christian, for a child of God. And the way we're followers of God is to walk in love. Even as Christ has loved us. Now Jesus, in the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, and the 34th verse, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Now that's a new commandment. Love one another even as I have loved you. Now the old commandment was, and that was the second of the great commandments, love thy neighbor as thyself. But the old commandment didn't include loving your enemies like the new commandment does. And it did not include doing good to them that hate you and praying for them that persecute you and despitefully use you like the new commandment does. To love one another as He has loved us involves loving your enemies. It involves loving people that are not lovable. We could never claim being lovable to God in our sins. With sin in our lives and us all corrupt and defiled before Him, we could never claim being lovable to Him.
Amen.
But with us in that condition, He still loved us to the extent that He gave His only begotten Son to save us.
Yes.
And in the 5th chapter of Romans, He says, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sinners. Now that's the love that Christ had for us, for all mankind. And He died for sinners. Then He said, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Now that's a brand of love that they didn't know a thing about in the Old Testament times.
Amen.
And that was not a part of the Old Commandment. The old commandment was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's as far as the old commandment went. But now He said, love one another even as I've loved you. And that gets down to you loving folks that gouge you and that are a trial to you and that prick you with their the way they treat you and the way they do. That gets down to loving folks like that. Christ never excluded anybody. He just loved us all. When it comes to loving as Christ loved us, that goes a great distance.
Yes, it does.
That covers a lot of ground. Then verse 35 of that 13th chapter of John says, by this shall all men know that ye are My disciples if ye have love one to another. One to another. Not for another, one for another. But love manifested. We can talk a great deal about love. And we can say that I love you. But what He's talking about is love manifested. Getting it out, manifesting it, showing it. Love one to another. If I had $1,000 for you and you were starving and you needed something real badly, if I kept $1,000 in my pocket and says I have $1,000 for you, it'll feed you for a while, but I just kept it in my pocket, you'd go ahead and starve. But if I take it out of my pocket and give it to you, then you can go get what you need.
Yes.
Now that's what He's talking about. Love one to another. It has been a common expression down through the years of this evening light Reformation as I've known it, that people many times said that the thing that attracted them to the saints was the love they had one to another.
Amen.
The way they loved one another. Well, they had to be manifesting it for those folks to see it. It wasn't just talking about love. It was showing love, getting it to the people.
Amen.
And that is an attractive thing. Now, when Jesus said, "All men shall know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another," that said something. That goes pretty deep. It's not natural for humankind to love other people. It's natural for people to love themselves. And we're living in a world today that's getting more and more that way, and I've seen it developing for several, the past few years. Every fellow for himself. Just don't you bother me and I won't bother you. You go your way and I'll go mine. Just let me alone and I'll let you alone. That's the attitude of this world. An independent attitude that is the prevailing attitude in this world today and getting more that way all the time. Every fellow for himself. And somebody added to it, the devil for us all. Well, I believe that's so too. I believe he wants all of us if he can get us. But in the midst of all of this, to find a people that has love prevailing among them and manifesting love one to another is a convincing thing.
Amen. Yeah.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Getting it out to them. Manifesting it. The love of God manifested. Truth manifested. Paul says by manifestation of the truth. Putting it out, living it. By manifestation of love, same thing. Putting it out, living it.
Yes,
living in love one toward another. In the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, verses 9 and 10, he says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another."
Amen.
Yeah. Now there's something about the very presence of the Spirit of God, and God himself is love. And he that dwelleth in God, dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, for God is love. The other day, Brother Williams, Evelyn said something to him when she was talking on the phone about our meeting here, and that Brother Ory preached a lot on love, and we all learned quite a bit about love, and Brother Williams says, "Well, he is love." Well, you can just see it dripping all down off of him, all around him. He is love. Well, wherever the essence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ is, that very thing teaches us and causes us to love one another.
Amen.
He said, I don't need to write to you about this, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. It's the very essence of God. My first text says, be ye followers of God. You can't follow God and not love another. And that love will be an impartial something. Now he says, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. I pray often, you hear me pray it over here, and I pray it at home, and I pray it often when I'm praying, that God will increase me and my brethren, all of us, all of the saints, in all the divine virtues and graces of God in our lives.
Amen.
And the basic increase that we need is a continual increasing of love in our hearts. So as you do it, you're taught of God to do it, and indeed you do it, but I desire that you increase more and more. Then up in the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians, verse 12 says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Increase and abound. Now that word abound is defined as an overflowing fullness.
Amen.
Now that's what God wants to do in you and me, is to just shed abroad His love in our hearts from corner to corner by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us.
Amen.
Perfecting us in love. He said, herein is our love made perfect. God wants a perfect love out of you and me. He wants us loving Him, and He wants us loving one another. And He wants us loving our enemies, and He wants us loving the unlovable, and He wants us loving them that gouge us and that are a trial to us. And we just love all men. He says, increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. Get it outside of our own ranks into the way of the Lord out there. And people out there will have a chance to see the love of God. Then he said, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints.
Amen.
Now, folks, this is the stabilizing thing. He says, increase and abound in love to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Now, did you know you're going to have a heart full of love to live holy when it comes to your relationship with your fellow men?
Amen.
Your attitudes toward them and your treatments of them and the things you think about them and the things you say about them and all, to just be holy and all of that, is going to take a lot of love for you to do that. Increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God.
Amen.
That's just going to take a heart full of love toward everybody for us to live holy in our relationship with our fellows. Well, people tell me sometimes I'm not so much concerned about that. I want my relationship with Christ to be good. Well, I have this little bit of advice for you. If there's anybody in here like that, your relationship with Christ is not going to be good until your relationship with your fellows is good.
Amen.
And that's the basis of it. In the second chapter of Colossians, in the second verse, he says that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love. I watch Evelyn knitting night after night up there. Once in a while I see her ripping out some. I say, that's not the way to get the job done, backing up, ripping out. Well, I said I made a mistake back here. I dropped a stitch back here. And so she has to rip out back to that place to get it right and go on. And I watch that night after night, see Evelyn knitting. Well, what God wants is a fabric, a perfect fabric. Our hearts all knit together without a drop stitch. Blending together, fellowshipping together in the love of Christ. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. The Lord has several different illustrations and examples in His Word to show the relationship of the saints. It's a building, and it's a vineyard, and it's a house, a finished house. And here it's a fabric, a knitting. It's all illustrating how that the hearts of the children of God are bound together. In the second chapter of Philippians, in verse 1, he said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same mind, having the same love. The thing that strikes me is if there be any comfort in love. And that's where it is. It's difficult to comfort a person in their grief if that person can't feel love emanating from you into their hearts. I attended a funeral one time back in Oklahoma. And the man that preached it in tears. And there in the casket in front of him as he preached the message lay the remains of one of his friends. He said, this man was my friend. And then he broke down in tears and he preached his whole message in tears. And that funeral has stood out in my mind all these years. That was many, many years back. But there was an evident token of the fact that that man loved his friend. And preaching that funeral message in those tears just administered comfort to everybody in there. There's comfort in love. Now we can talk about sympathizing with folks and we can say, I sure feel sorry for you and I sympathize with you and all of that. But if they can't feel something coming forth from you to them, a manifestation of love, that just runs into a kind of a sickening sentimentality that nobody likes to hear. If any comfort of love. Jesus could comfort because Jesus loved. And he stood at the tomb of one that he loved and wept. And he knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. There was no occasion to weep there. But he was weeping because of the grief of his friends and the people around him there. And when he did, the people standing by said, "Behold how he loved him."
Amen.
Those tears were eloquent, weren't they? The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. But comfort emanated from those tears. And from his weeping. And entering into the sorrow of the people who were sorrowing over the loss of their loved one. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and that's the only place there is any, and any comfort of love. Jesus could comfort because Jesus loved. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, in the first verse, he says, "Let brotherly love continue." Now, what did that mean? He didn't say, "Make it continue." Just strain out some love towards your brethren. He just said, "Let it continue." That goes right back to the text here in 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter and verse 10, where he said, well, let me read it. It's gotten away from my mind now. Verse 9. "Ye are taught of God to love one another." Now, love is just a natural outflow of anybody that has any contact with God or relationship with Christ. You can't touch those folks, God and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You can't touch them and have any contact with them without love pouring into your soul from them. They are love. And you're taught of God to love one another. Now he said, "Let brotherly love continue."
Yeah.
If you have a relationship with Christ, the natural outflow of that is a brotherly love. When he said, "Let it continue," it indicated that it would continue unless you allowed some condition to develop some way or other that would obstruct it, that would hinder it. That's what we're to guard against. We are to guard against accepting or receiving any kind of attitude or feeling or disposition in our heart toward our brethren that would obstruct the free flow of the love of Christ from our heart to Him.
Amen.
When we keep all that out of the way and keep our hearts clear and free, brotherly love will just continue. He said, "Let it continue." Then there's a manifestation of it. The next verse said, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware." I don't know just how open we all are to that kind of instruction and that kind of living. entertaining strangers and being mindful of the needs of the traveler and of the needy and like that. But he said that's the way brotherly love continues. For some, thereby, have entertained angels unaware. And that was the case with Lot. That's where the reference runs to from that text, back to Lot. Lot took the angels that came to Sodom and begged them till they prevailed on them. They said, we're going to abide in the streets tonight. We come down here to investigate this city and we're going to abide in the streets. And Lot begged them until they came in and received of his hospitality and spent the night in his home. And you know what happened? That turned out to be the life-saving thing to him, to have those folks in his home. And to receive them, it turned out to be a lifesaver to him. Entertained angels unaware. The 12th chapter of Romans, verse 10 says, be kindly affection one toward another in brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Folks, that's what love will do. One of the describing love in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians was that it envieth not. And another one was that seeketh not its own. Now, when it comes to preferring one another in honor, you're going to have quite a little love and humility to do that. To prefer one another in burden bearing and in the dirty work, that doesn't take so much. I just rather they do that and leave me out. But to prefer them in honor, it takes a lot of love and humility to do that. But you love one another just as you should, and you'll be just as glad to see your brother honored as if you were getting the honor.
Amen.
The Bible says to weep with those that weep, and rejoice with those that rejoice. And when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it.
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you that you will find it easier to weep with those that weep than you do to rejoice with those that rejoice. And you will find it easier to suffer with a suffering member than you will to rejoice when that member is honored. And the reason of that is the deep-seated nature in humankind. And if you don't watch it and watch it close, when someone else is being honored, you're going to be feeling like, well, I ought to get some of that too. They're not honoring me like they are him. That's what struck Saul down. Saul perished over that same thing. Oh, you say Saul went on a long time, but his destruction, the axe fell on him right there when he envied David. because they said of David that he had slain his 10,000s and Saul had slain his 1,000s. The axe fell on him right there. And he never had God with him from then on. God withdrew from him and had David anointed king. And David was anointed king a long time before he actually ascended to the throne and took the reins of government. And God transferred his approbation from Saul to David right there on that occasion. It's just love that'll make you be happy when somebody else is honored. And when somebody else is getting credit, especially for what you feel you should be getting some credit for, it's just love that'll keep you balanced and level at that point. And with the right attitude toward the individual that's receiving the credit and the honor, and toward the people that's giving it. In brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Peter said, 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the king. That covers the whole ground there. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Now, God teaches you and me to love the brotherhood, the whole brotherhood. Not just certain ones that are pals of ours, but just love the brotherhood. Love the saints. Any saint. All the saints.
Amen.
Love them. And he said in the 5th chapter of 1 John in the 3rd verse that herein is love, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know why they're not? Love is the only thing that hinders them from being grievous to us. The commandments of God, if we didn't love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the commandments of God to deny ourselves and to bear our cross and to follow him and live a self-denial life and the sacrifices that he calls on us to make would be exceedingly grievous to the natural man. The only thing that takes the grievousness out of them is love. Is loving God. And you know that'll take the grievousness out of you serving one another too. The Word of God said in the 5th chapter of Galatians about verse 13, it says, by love serve one another.
Yes,
but you won't enjoy that unless you love them people. But if you love them, you can put yourself way out yonder without it being any trial to you, being grievous to you. Just rejoice in the opportunity to show your love to them. Love is something that just goes out.
Amen.
Love makes people do desperate things, unreasonable things. My brother told me about when he was up in Alaska during the war. And he said there was an army officer up there that had brought his wife up there. And there was no suitable accommodations for them to be together there on the base. So his wife was over in the women's barracks and he was over in the men's barracks. Well, he said one night a fire broke out in the women's barracks. This man knew his wife was in there. So he went running over there, heedless of everything, and was just going to run right into that building. And they called him and he didn't pay any attention. He just kept going. And they finally tackled him and brought him down. And my brother said that man just kicked and bit and scratched and fought and everything, trying to get loose from them fellas so he could go on in that building where his wife was. Well, he couldn't have done a thing but die with her. And he went in there. But love makes people do desperate things. Unheard of things. And love will cause you and me to put ourselves way out and not count it a grievous thing to help our brethren in need. The story is told, and I'm sure you've heard it, about a little fellow that had a crippled brother. And he came along carrying his crippled brother on his back. And somebody said to him, says, "That's quite a load for a young fella like you." He said, "Oh no," says, "this is my brother." He loved his brother, and so it wasn't a heavy load for him. Now the love of God will just reach way out there. And we'll not feel grieved about it. Sometimes I have felt grieved because time has gone on for some little time and I haven't had much opportunity to show much love toward my brother. And when some opportunity comes up that they need me, why, I just feel real good about that. Been a while that I haven't had much opportunity to manifest love to them. His commandments are not grievous. It isn't grievous to serve Him and deny ourselves for Him because we love Him, and it is not grievous to us to deny ourselves and give ourselves in service to our fellow men because we love them. Amen. The love of Christ is a great thing. The greatest thing in the world. And you can hardly talk out to the end of it. So I'm just going to quit right where I am. Trust the Lord to bless us all and help us to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men.